There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. That there's nothing to fear just states a fact. That there's nothing to be afraid of is not a fact to those who believe in their ego. But what your ego tells you is not the truth. What your fear tells you is not the truth. Because in truth, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to be afraid of, but it's very difficult to recognize that there's nothing to be afraid of if you want the thing that you're afraid of to be true. So you need to repeat the idea that there's nothing to be afraid of as often as possible. You can say there's nothing to fear with your eyes open. You can say there's nothing to fear with your eyes closed. But take a minute whenever you feel nervous or anxious about anything to tell yourself there is nothing to fear. It's particularly important to tell yourself there's nothing to fear when you're in any situation that's upsetting you. Tell yourself that there's nothing to fear immediately if you're in a situation that's upsetting you. If there's a situation that's disturbing your peace of mind, tell yourself there's nothing to fear. Because if you feel fear, it's a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength, separate from God. Nothing to fear, then it just shows that somewhere in your mind, though not necessarily in the place you recognize right now, you have remembered God. And if you feel like there's nothing to fear, at some level you're letting the strength of God take its place in your awareness. The instant you're willing to trust in the strength your creator within you and seemingly outside you, there is indeed nothing to fear. There is 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 nothing to fear.
I got the guidelines to the course. Remember that you don't have to believe it. It may startle you. You may not want to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. Some of it you might resist. And none of this matters. None of this will affect the effectiveness of what we're talking about. The guidelines are going to be particularly important tonight. And I'm going to keep referring back to them. Because as soon as you start putting a lot of resistance, you've forgotten that. Right. And the section I'm going to do is called Sickness is a Defense Against the Truth. And when the Course says sickness, it's not just talking about physical illness. It's talking about any form of lack of peace.
So if there's anything you have lack of peace about in any kind of way in your life, then this is the section that talks about that. And even if you don't think you do, you do. Okay, lesson 136 in the workbook, page 257. 257 in the workbook, lesson 136 in the workbook. I got a couple of loaner copies that are available for someone to use to file a loan if they need it. It's on page 257, lesson 136 in the workbook, not the text, not the teacher's manual. The first paragraph is going to describe how to have automatic healing. Okay, no one can heal unless he understands what purpose sickness seems to serve. And then he understands as well as purpose has no meaning. Being causeless and without a meaningful intent of any kind, sickness cannot be at all. When you see that the problem, the sickness, the upset cannot be at all, healing is automatic. Healing dispels this meaningless illusion, which is sickness or lack of peace, by the same approach that carries all illusions to the truth and merely leaves them there to disappear. Sickness, or the unhappiness that you may have about anything, I'm going to keep emphasizing, I'm not talking about just physical illness. Any form of lack of peace, the Course defines as sickness. Your lack of peace or sickness isn't an accident. Like all defenses, the sickness or the unhappiness is an insane device for self-deception. And like all the rest, the purpose of your unhappiness or your sickness is to hide the truth, which is reality, attack the truth, change the truth, render it inept, distort the truth, twist the truth. You're basically trying to reduce the truth into a little pile of unassembled parts. The aim of all defenses, which is sickness or upset, is to keep the truth from being whole. The parts are seen as if each one were whole within itself. So anything that you read in the Course that you don't understand, don't focus on it. Because it's just going to say what it just said another way. So there's no need to focus on any particular sentence. It'll be a lot easier. So, defenses is another word for sickness, is another word for lack of peace. Are unintentional. Defenses are unintentional, nor are they made without awareness. The defense or the problem is a secret magic wand you wave when truth appears to threaten what you would believe. Now, the defense or the thing that seems to be making you unhappy or the sickness or the problem, it seems to be unconscious. The decision seems to be unconscious. But because of the rapidity with which you choose to use the defenses, in that second or even less in which the choice is made, you recognize exactly what you would attempt to do and then proceed to think that it's done. Wow. Who but yourself evaluates the threat, decides escape is necessary, okay, and sets up a series of defenses to reduce the threat that has been judged as real. All of this cannot be done unconsciously. But afterwards, your plan requires that you must forget you made your plan. Mm-hmm. So that your plan seems to be, your sickness seems to be, your problem seems to be external to your own intent, a happening beyond your state of mind, an outcome with a real effect on you instead of an effect affected by yourself. It's this quick forgetting of the part you play in making your reality that makes defenses or sickness or lack of peace seem to be beyond your own control. But what you have forgot can be remembered, given willingness to reconsider the decision, which is doubly shielded by oblivion. Your not remembering is but a sign that this decision still remains in force as far as your desires are concerned. Mistake not this for fact. Defenses must make facts unrecognizable. Defenses aim at making facts unrecognizable. And it is this defenses do.
Wow. Thank you.
A Course in Miracles is much easier to use visual aids with to get across the point, especially at the level that I'm going to be doing it. Alright, so what I just said was so simple and so powerful that it probably went right?
Seems like I stood
in front of you all. Did you go over some things? And it seems like I said, okay, sickness is a defense against the truth. The Course says that sickness equals defense equals lack of peace. All of those are the same thing. So anything that you're feeling a lack of peace about, the Course defines as a sickness. So you could just say, what I'm feeling about my job today is a defense against the truth. What I feel about my financial situation is the problem is a defense against the truth. What I'm feeling in my relationship is a defense against the truth. And so he says that you're not going to heal a situation until you understand the purpose of the sickness or the problem. You can't heal it. So he says that the healing is going to be automatically will happen as soon as you get there is no purpose in your suffering. It's not even necessary for your spiritual growth. But if you're suffering, then it is a lesson for your spiritual growth. See the difference? I don't have to, you know, I said in this class yesterday, I don't have to put my hand on the hot stove and burn myself to get the lesson that I don't need to put my hand on the hot stove. So it's not necessary for you to suffer to get the lesson. But if I do put my hand on the hot stove and I burned it, then I did learn a lesson. So if you're in a situation that's causing you a lack of peace, then you're in a situation that you're learning a lesson in. Did you have to go through the pain to learn the lesson? No. Okay? Remember, you may have some resistance to that idea, especially if you like to suffer a lot. If that's your way of doing things, you don't want to think you're doing all that for nothing. Okay, so then it says the next thing is mind-boggling. It says sickness isn't an accident. The thing that you're upset about isn't an accident. He says it's a defense. And here's a word that when the Course uses for defense, it kind of tripped me out. He says a defense is a plan.
Plan.
Yeah. He says every plan we make is a defense. Because it's us trying to take care of ourselves because we don't believe that God will.
Yeah.
So when I want to take care of myself without going to God, I'll make up statements like, God accepts those who help themselves. That way I can do my own thing and make up my own plans and think that that's what God wants me to do. So then I get a chance to just do my thing independently without a real belief in a higher power. But at the same time, I can make myself think that it's the higher power that's getting me to make my plan. So I can still not really have faith in the higher power to look like I am, because I'm just doing what I want to do. Anyway, so I'm really not tuning God into it at all. I'm just saying, well, God wants me to go out here and do my plan. I didn't ask God what the plan was. So the Course says then that the problem that you're going through, the sickness that you're going through, it's a plan, it's a defense. And he says it's an insane device to deceive yourself. And so the purpose of having unhappiness, the purpose of having a problem, the purpose of having lack, the purpose of having loneliness, the purpose of it is to hide the truth, attack the truth, change the truth, make, in other words, I hear all this stuff you're saying, man, about love is the only way and that we're these invulnerable beings and everything should be going right for us and we should have harmony and peace in our life. But you know what? That couldn't possibly be true because I got this sickness, this problem, and this upset. So the purpose of the problem is to render the truth inept. Because I don't have to do something that I don't believe in. So if I can prove it doesn't work, I don't have to do it. So the old self is always trying to prove to your new self that everything your new self is trying to do won't work. Okay. So, let me, can I elaborate on that?
Yes.
And you don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, and you don't have to welcome it. All right, here we go. This is the way it works.
himself. Okay, then we have old self. New self says there's nothing to fear.
Right.
Old self says, I hell it ain't. New self says abundance is your natural state. Old self says, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. New self says that I can have relationships that are totally loving and totally fulfilling. Old self says you can't trust nobody. You got to be on the lookout.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you come up with a new way you're going to be, your old self sets about proving to you that every new thing that you're trying to do is not going to work. So the old self comes up with a course called Defenses Against the Truth. That.
That ain't right.
That. A defense against the truth. So you're going to come up with that. And we just call it ADAT for short. So as soon as I say, new self says you can have a relationship that's totally fulfilling to you, old self goes, I'm going to come up with an ADAT. I'm going to come up with a defense against the truth. So what I do is I present you with the worst relationship you've ever had to make sure you don't even begin to think like this. New self says, I'm going to be optimistic about my job and my career, and I'm going to really do the best I can. I'm going to start believing in my coworkers. Old self goes, you just got laid off, and it's a big rumor about you at work. See, the course calls that a defense against the truth. It is nothing but an attempt on the part of our old self to render the new truth that we're learning inept.
Yeah, because that's heavy.
But I would like you to bypass your intellect, go to your soul and your heart, and ask yourself if that doesn't resonate.
Absolutely.
When you bypass your mind, you can start dealing with your gut and your heart. Which is, and when I say heart, I'm not talking about an organ that pumps blood through the body. You know, I'm talking about the center of your being. I'm talking about the very essence of who you are. Love. That's your heart. Okay? And then that makes a lot of sense to me. My old self, which of course causes the what? Ego. And my new self, which is my real self. I'm just getting back in touch with it again. It really knows I deserve to be happy. And I deserve to have peace. And I deserve... Every one of us know that. We just wonder why in the head doesn't it happen. And we don't realize that the reason why it doesn't happen is because we're teaching ourselves. Instead of letting yourself teach you, you're trying to teach yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no good teacher would tell you that the answer was anywhere except within you.
Right.
And that you don't need me. You don't need to look outside of yourself. All the answers are within yourself. And there's nothing I say that you should put before the feelings of your own being, your own heart, your own gut. And that said, really remember then, see, the next paragraph says defenses are not unintentional. What does that mean? You've got to say, what does that mean? Well, it means your plan wasn't made without awareness. Yeah. Well, then why did I come up with this problem as soon as I thought I was feeling good? He said, well, actually, your problem... I love this. This is great. Says your problem... this is you, right? after your diet plan. And you're holding a magic wand.
A magic wand.
The magic wand is your problem.
Okay.
So you were recognizing the truth, and it was scary, and the old self doesn't want to believe this new stuff that you're trying to learn. So you whip out a problem.
Wow.
That's your secret magic wand.
Wow.
See the visual with the cords?
I get it.
All right. He says that you do what? You wave the problem, the sickness, the lack, the upset. When what? When truth appears to threaten what you would believe.
Mm-hmm.
So every time a new belief threatens an old belief, I take out my magic wand, which is the problem or the situation that proves that the new belief isn't true.
And can I look at this positively to say that this defense that I have, at least I am allowing the truth in. My ego is really fighting me.
Right. You wouldn't even be, you would even take out your magic wand if the truth wasn't getting to you.
Right.
See, here's the trick when trying to be conscious or to remember who you really are again. People who believe in separation, people who believe in the illusion, people who believe they're just bodies, people who believe that they're victims of things outside themselves, they don't believe that there's any other way than that. So they are not in conflict in that sense. So everything in that world corresponds with that belief. I read the paper, it doesn't like you got to be on the lookout for terrorists, and I do believe you can't trust people. I think you shouldn't trust people in the newspaper saying, yes, somebody did get scammed last night. I believe I'm a body that can be hurt. I just read about a person that was hurt in an accident. In other words, I believe that I'm a body. I believe things can happen to me, and my world is reflecting it back to me. So therefore, I'm not in conflict. Even though I'm miserable and afraid.
Right.
Got it? All of a sudden I decide, well, I want to wake up to the truth. I've had enough. My soul tells me there's something going on that something that somebody didn't tell me that's really the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, it's obviously God, there is no God, or God is a psycho. There's either those two choices. Either there is a God of love, or there's a God of fear. Mm-hmm. And I got to make a decision. Either there's love, or there's fear. And so I'm used to living in a fearful world that I'm defensive and looking out for myself as best I can, hoping I can get a few relationships with a few people that I can trust, hopefully. Then see if I can take some vacations, maybe have some good love making, do my career thing, have a little business, die. Pretty much got it all. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it there. That's pretty much the plan. As soon as somebody lands, people lay out the plan. Right? It's like, as soon as you get here, you're told exactly what you're supposed to do when you grow up and exactly what society says you're supposed to do. So we get, and some of us, we come here and we go, no.
This doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry. I love you, but this doesn't make sense. And my soul tells me that the reality isn't like this. Okay. So my old self is going to come up with something to always make my new self feel like what it's trying to do is not real. But the point that I was making is that, so you used to be in the illusion and used to believe in the illusion. Now you're trying to wake up to your true spiritual identity, which gives you two, what appears to be two choices. So it looks like we can go through more conflict. Because a part of us wants to believe what we were taught, and another part of us wants to accept the truth, but the other people just don't accept the truth as we see it. That's why I'm going to emphasize that.
Right.
As we see it. Everybody knows the truth.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows the truth.
Right.
It's in the soul of everyone.
Right. Uh-huh.
Now, it's covered up by beliefs.
Uh-huh. So it's like an unlearning, I guess.
Yes, the whole process is an undoing. And I tell you what, it's a lot easier to unravel a ball of yarn than to wind it up. So it won't take you as long to undo your false beliefs as it took you to learn them.
That's good.
Okay, unless you get in the way.
Okay.
The only person that can interfere with this process is you. Because the universe wants you to have peace.
Yeah.
Nobody in here wants you to be in conflict. So the truth is, there is no enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You might read about one, but you're sitting here safe. You might think about one, but you're sitting here safe.
Mm-hmm.
The reality of this moment is you have no enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're safe. You can think in the future that you might have something happen to you, or you can remember in the past where something did, but you're not in the past or the future. You're right here.
Yeah.
That's an important point. Okay, so that means that in this moment you can affect a change that will change your whole future. Because it's based on an extension of this moment. So the average person, they do it like this. Here's the now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They look back at the past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From the now. Right? And then they project what happened in the past that it might happen in the future. Right? Then they move from immediate. And then they go I was right. But they don't know they're only meeting their own projection because they were using their now. Check this out. They were using their now to focus on the past and project it in the future instead of being in the now of their happiness, focusing on the happiness that they have in this moment and letting the happiness that they have in this moment move to this moment, move to this moment, move to this moment, move to this moment. Why? By staying in your peace in each moment. That's the new way. So of course it's going to seem like your prophecy about yourself is right, because you're the one who is using your creative power as a child of God to focus on something that happened in the past and therefore project it in the future, because you're a creator and whatever you focus on, you will create. But since you are pretty, since you don't want to be too bored, since you've done it so many times, when it shows up in the future, it'll have a different form of the same thing. It will be like the relationship that doesn't work again, but it's with a new person.
Yeah.
It's the job I'm not happy in again, but it's a different job. See, it's still the same content. I'm in another situation where I'm in a relationship or a situation where I'm unhappy. So you really just are re-experiencing your past. So if you go through life backwards, which is what that would be, right? If I'm doing everything based on what I learned in the past and what I experienced in the past, it's like going through life looking back.
Right.
Of course I'm going to bump into you and fall over you. A problem. Of course I'm stumbling, hurt myself. An accident. What? Because I'm not looking ahead to see what's happening. I'm not in my present.
What do you think has it so uncomfortable about being in the now?
We don't know where it's at. we don't know how to be there.
Loss of control.
Yeah, it's like, when you talk about the now, that sounds like an abstract concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not maintain my identity as it is now and be in the now. I would change. I would lose that old identity. And we're afraid of change, even though we say we want it.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to make plans in the now.
It's the only time you can.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to make a plan, I got to do it now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can't make a plan tomorrow. I have to make a plan now.
Right.
But the course, but a conscious being isn't making plans. A conscious being is carrying out a plan that is receiving through a wisdom greater than its own. An unconscious being is just coming up with another way to try to take care of themselves that has to do with manipulating everything and everybody around them into their fantasy of what their life should be with, then accusing that person of not supporting them or betraying them when they don't want to take a part in the role you made up for them without asking them.
Yeah.
You know, I've decided what kind of people are going to make me happy, and then I go about trying to make everybody like that, or guilt tripping them if they're not like that, and accusing them of not caring about me if they don't act out my plan. But there is a part of you that knows who would naturally do the things that flow with you without you even having to try to make them do it. You know, you're the kind of person that says at a physical level that your thing is golf. Okay, you can spend all night trying to make your friends and your mate want to go golfing with you. Or you could just go with another golfer.
Yeah.
And both of y'all would be happy.
And just go golfing.
Yeah. But we are addicted, the course says we are addicted to form, not content. It's more important for me to have this form with me when I go golfing than it is for me to go golfing. If it was really the content of golfing that I wanted, then I could have millions of people I could go with. So you can always have what you want if you put the content before the form.
Wow.
And in this plane, we put the form before the content.
Mm-hmm.
If you look good, you are good.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's why we do it. If it looks nice, it is nice. Man, it's funny how they say most serial killers look like the guy next door. Of course he's not going to come to the door looking like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Because we're form-oriented. So if he was a nice person, we wouldn't let him in the door because of what he looks like. Because on this plane, it's always about what it looks like.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the internal qualities.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what it looks like, what it has, and what it can do for you. It's called the get. The Course calls it our getting mechanism. Okay, I don't want to get off the track here. Even though everything I say is relevant. So you follow me?
Yes.
Okay, so the Course says that, I love this, this is very important. If we don't get past this page, I don't care, because if you get this one page, your life won't be the same. It's not about speed, it's about remembering. So the Course says defenses are what? They're not unintentional. And they're not made without awareness. They're the secret magic wands you wave when the truth appears to threaten what you would believe. The plan or the problem or the sickness, it says, seems to be unconscious, but because of the rapidity with which you choose to use it. It's almost like me, it's simple, it's very simple. It's like me deciding to walk over and grab her book. And I make that decision so fast that I forget I made the decision. It's like a hypnotist telling the subject, every time you hear the word peanut butter, I want you to hop on one leg. And I want you to forget that I ever told you this. Okay? So the guy's going about his normal reality, right? He thinks he's his normal self. Somebody says peanut butter. He goes, what the heck is going on? Well, he's experiencing a decision that he made and agreed to, but he forgot about it. And the Course is saying the same thing. What's happening in your life is something that you're creating, but you made the decision so rapidly that you don't remember that you made the decision to have this experience that you're going through that's making you so unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Is that a decision they call a reaction?
And that's exactly what one of the things you would call would be a reaction, which is just a decision that you made so fast you don't even remember making it anymore. So you just say it's your natural way of reacting or expressing yourself. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? There was a time for you to walk, you had to go, you know, consciously make the decision. Plop! You know, and then after a while, you just... It's the same thing. It's just that it's a decision you've made so often and so many times that now you don't even remember making the decision. You just call it getting up and walking across the room when you want to. The Course says extend that to every area of your life. Everything that's happening to you is a reflection of decisions that you're making so rapidly that you don't remember making them. And you made the decision to go through the problem because somewhere love and truth started to have an effect on you and it threatened your old self so much that you made a decision to do something to yourself to prove that you don't deserve the love that the truth is saying you deserve. You don't have to believe that. You don't have to accept that. Cut your head off for a minute. Go to your gut.
Yeah.
Go to your gut. Would it make more sense that we were created as powerful creators, as a part of a powerful creator, or would it make sense that we are just helpless victims of circumstance in every situation? And if we are creators, then that means at some level what we're experiencing is our creation. But the Course is talking about most especially what? Perception. Even if you can't grab the idea that you create your physical reality, the Course says just start with the idea that you create your way of seeing things. We can all get that stretched that far. And if I make my way of seeing things, then I can also make a decision that I forget about to see things a certain way. Like, in other words, before I go see my mama, I've made so many decisions about my mama and I don't get along. And that I've actually forgotten about it. So it just looks like every time we get together, we have an argument. But we don't know we're both meeting our unconscious decisions about each other that's built up over a period of time to the point that we just clash. Right. But it's both of us defending against the idea that we can have peace together. It's both of us defending against the idea that I'm responsible for how I feel and my mama's responsible for how she feels. But she wants to blame me and I want to blame her. So I got to make the decision that she's doing things to me and I don't remember making the decision to look at it that way.
So if we have stepped out of illusion, you're suggesting that we would not be able to see pain and suffering even in other people's decisions.
Right. And that's the miracle. That's the kind of miracle that I could never prove that to you, but you have to have the experience of looking at things that way to see it happen. Yes. Your entire perception of reality will shift with your new decision. And the Course started out by giving us the new decision that we were supposed to make, which was what? There's no purpose to my suffering. That I don't have to suffer in order to be happy. But if I am, I have to see it as a lesson that God would have me learn. Okay. This is so deep. Now, listen to the rest of this paragraph. It says, the decision seems to be unconscious, but because of what? The rapidity with which you choose to use your problem, your defense, your magic wand. And how long does it take? In that second, even less, in which the choice is made. I love that. He says, you recognize exactly what you would attempt to do. He says, you know what you're attempting to do. And he says, we're proceeding to think that we've done it. So he says, well, you know why you know you did it? I said, well, why? Well, the Court says, well, who is it but you that's evaluating the threat? Who is it but you that's deciding that your escape or some kind of change is necessary? Who is it but you that's setting up all the defenses and plans? Because you're trying to do what? Reduce the threat. I'm making all my plans for the future so I can reduce the threat of something not too cool happen to me in the future. So I'm the one that's evaluating the threat. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's coming up with the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says, but your plan, hold it. But your plan, I'm going to get to what happens most of the time if I stop when I'm on the run for a question, it destroys the point the Spirit is trying to make through me. So I'm not trying to ignore anybody. I've just been doing this 30 years and I know the tricks of my mind. So I'd be glad to ask them to shepherd. Because the Course in Miracles really, y'all, let me give you a tip. It's about remembering the truth. It's not about figuring it out. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot easier for me to remember She's Bunny than to spend all my time trying to figure out the She's Bunny. It's a lot easier for me to rinse. I need to focus on the fact that, if I'm having a problem right now, it's a plan that I've come up with because the truth is threatening what I used to believe. And so now because I'm threatened, I'm coming up with this situation and circumstance to make me think I can't be happy. If you were to do that and just remember to do that, it would dissipate the problem that you're trying to figure out what to do. Because the Course is not about behavior. It's not about somebody telling you how to behave with your mother, with your brother, with yourself, with your boss. It's not about that level at all. It's the level of trying to give you a state of mind that would allow your knowledge to come through, your spirit to come through and heal that situation. And it says our higher self comes through in a peaceful mind. So it's a new way of learning. It's not the old way. The Course isn't the old paradigm. This isn't another left brain experience. This is not another class on let me figure out concepts and ideas, or let me see if I can fit this into my concepts and ideas. This is like totally over there. You know what I mean? It's like here's your beliefs and my beliefs, and then here's the Course. It won't fit in your beliefs. It's not even about that. It's like, no, I don't have to use the purple marker anymore. I can just start using the green one, and I don't have to keep trying to bring the purple one into the green one, and I don't have to keep trying to bring the green one into the purple one. I can just use the green one. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about trying to figure out the credibility of what we're hearing. It's about making the choice about whether or not you really want to think differently or whether or not you really want to just defend your old way of thinking. It obviously hasn't worked for you to have the peace of God.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my classes are for people who like, I've reached my limit over here and I want something new over there.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I need you to prove to me that the way I'm doing over here is not the right way for me to do it. I can't prove that to you. You just have to deal by the results. It'll take you back to the rightness of your premise. You know, if you're unhappy, if you have peace every now and then, if you have relationships that's okay sometimes, if you have money sometimes, if you feel abundant sometimes, if you feel healthy sometimes, if you feel like you got oneness and connection happening sometimes, then you're in the old thought system. Everybody does that. Even the most so-called unhappy person has moments of joy. So that means they're sad sometimes and they're joyful sometimes. guess what? If we're sad sometimes and joyful sometimes, even if we take it for spiritual reasons, we're no different from the person that's miserable that's sad sometimes. So the real thought system has to do with uncovering and letting go of the thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs that cover up the self of love that we already are, that we don't have to try to make ourselves to be. It's what you already are. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you don't come to a class to affirm until you're loving or to make yourself be positive, you are the light. You are love. You are already spirit. I don't have to get up in the morning and meditate on being black. But if I thought I was white, I'd have a problem.
Yeah.
So then I have to get some spiritual learning.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's not the way I appear in this plane right now. I've done plenty of white lives, but that's another story. We'll talk about that some other time. And I was a slave owner. The answer to that?
Yep.
Okay. It makes sense more and more every day. I know. I mean, when I was a kid, I was in constant contact with my guardian angel to the point that he really PO'd me most of the time. Because when I tried to be bad, I couldn't get away with it.
Oh.
Okay. And so I would ask. I wasn't so asleep when I first came here that I forgot that this was a place that I came to learn it, but it wasn't where I was from, like most of the people around me thought they were it.
Right. Yeah.
But I was like, as a kid, going, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all mind, you know, you think God punishes you and you believe in sin and guilt and you get these little bodies and what you love dies and you don't remember flying, you don't remember being free consciousness, you don't remember being one. No, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm a sister, I'm a brother, I'm a surgeon, I'm a doctor, I'm a mailman. That's the role that you're playing to give yourself the lessons in remembering that you've chosen to have this time around. Don't confuse yourself with your role. Your children didn't come from you.
Nice.
Your children come here with their own lessons to learn. It's independent of how good a parent you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're not responsible for how your children turn out, but you're there to be a demonstrator, a way shower. They're just as old as you. Their body just came in later than yours.
Yeah.
No, that's what the truth in you, that's what your inner self will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Not what TV is going to tell us, or society is going to tell us, or any of that stuff. So what am I saying? That once you begin, like the answer, tonight we're in a high state of awakening. We're talking at a very different level.
Mm-hmm.
So when we leave out of here, the old self of everybody in here is probably going to do every single thing it can to get you to either doubt what you heard, find flaws in what you heard, get you to analyze what you heard, or guess what? The favorite thing. Just forget what you heard. Okay? And so you'll leave the class, and you'll go, what did he talk about? Or you'll meet somebody, and you'll say, you know, you ought to go to this class. I know about a guy named Earl Purdy. And they say, well, what did he teach you? Well, you just have to come. It's all you need to say. You just have to come. See, because what we do when we leave out the room, we go back into the old mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the old mind at that point is doing everything it can to make us forget what we just heard in our new mind. So we just walk out here with that one realization. That would mean that every time something would be bothering me, or some upset, or some problem, or some circumstance would come up that would bring me a lack of peace, the first thing I would say would be, this is a defense against the truth. Oh, this is a plan. This is a trick to make me think that I don't deserve to have peace, that I'm not the holy child of God. Oh, this is a trick to make me think I'm just a victim of circumstance. The minute you do that, you are undermining that whole situation that's causing you pain. Because the purpose of the situation that's causing you pain is to make you forget the truth. But if you use that situation to help you remember the truth, you're undermining that whole problem. And it will disappear because there's no point in keeping the problem that's not working.
Mm-hmm.
The man will just discard it. Oh, I gave him that hard time so that he would think love wasn't available. He's taking the hard time to remind him that love must be available, but he's just trying to deceive himself about it. So it's no point in not giving him love. He's remembering love anyway. End of defense, love rushes in. So, but then why don't we do that? And this next little part I'm going to say, I want to get this across before we complete. It says, okay, the plan requires what? You must forget you made it. so that it seems to be external to your own intent. What does that mean? It seems like it's a happening beyond your state of mind. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means it's an outcome with a real effect on you instead of one affected by yourself. In other words, when you've made a plan to experience something as a creator, but you've also made the decision to forget you made that decision, then it's going to look like it's something that happened to you, that you had nothing to do with. So a decision that a creator makes, that a creator is trying to pretend that the creator didn't make, will be something the creator will see as just happening to them. Do you all ever have anything that just like it happens to you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you? Okay, now we don't have to believe this explanation, but this is an explanation. If I'm the creator of my reality, and I'm not a victim of circumstances, and I am part of an all-powerful creator, which is what truth teaches, that we're these unlimited spiritual beings having a human experience, then why am I going through this stuff that makes me unhappy? It's the result of an unconscious decision that I'm making to try to prove to myself that the way I believe is the way that is true based on the way I've always been. Because my whole world as I know it depends on the way I've set it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather have a situation that's miserable that I think I know my way around than to open myself up to a possibility of a reality or truth that I don't know my way around. So at least I know my way around my misery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's a lot easier for me to just wipe all women out and say, I can't trust any women, live my life that way, than it is to go, they're trustworthy women. Uh-oh, now I've got to become trustworthy and open. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to step up.
Mm-hmm.
See, so if I don't really want to step up, it's to my advantage to continue
right.
to keep my old plan going and
yeah.
keep meeting women I can't trust. Because then I don't have to test my love. I don't have to love.
Yeah.
See? And that's what the Course is saying. That your old self defends against your new self to make you believe that the truth that you're studying isn't true. And he says that at first you got a plan to forget it. We got a plan to forget that we're doing this to ourselves. And people will say, I don't believe I'm doing it to myself. What? That's what he just said. You weren't going to make the decision to prove it to yourself. So you're saying exactly what a person would say that was in denial about creating it.
Yeah.
He says you're going to forget it, just like the peanut butter guy. He really don't remember saying he was going to jump when he heard the peanut butter. So if I walked up to him and said, you know what, buddy? I was there. I saw you. The magician told you, would you jump when he said peanut butter? You said, yeah. And then he said, well, you're going to forget about this and don't even remember that you made this decision. And you said, yeah. And then you forgot. But when I tell you you did it, you go, no, I didn't. Why? Because you forgot. So, how do we get out of it? Well, he says right here. It is this quick forgetting of the part you play in making your reality that makes it seem beyond your own control. It's the fact that you forgot that you're a creator. That's the problem. He says, well, what do you do? He says, well, what you've forgotten what? Can be remembered.
Right.
Given what? Willingness to reconsider the decision. So I got to reconsider this decision to give myself all these problems to prove I'm not as sweet and cute as I really am. I got to reconsider this decision to continue to get myself lacking sickness and upset and miserable career and no connection with God just so I can prove that I'm right about how life sucks and things don't go right for me and my parents abuse me and nobody gave me the love that I deserve and I built a whole world around that. I got to reconsider this decision that I'm going to give myself hell and misery just so I can be right.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time somebody tells me I do deserve love and that I am powerful, that I am responsible, that's a lie. I don't believe that. So I'm going to unconsciously make a decision very rapidly to get myself some kind of a problem to prove that they're lying to me. Then I'm going to forget I made the decision so it'll look like something happened to me and I can blame everybody else. My world is intact. The world will agree with me because the world is the belief that somebody else is doing it to you. That is the belief of the world. So the world goes, I'm so glad you got out of that coat. I'm so glad you're not listening to that strange black guy. See what I'm saying? Why? Because now you're back to blame. Now you're back to projection. Now you're back to victim consciousness. Now you feel like you're not powerful, except sometimes. See, that's the old thought system. So the Course says, well, how do you get out of that? He says, well, your not remembering is but the sign that this decision still remains in force as far as you're concerned. So what does that mean? Well, it means that if I continue to support the idea that I am not the creator of my experience, that my experience is not a result of my conscious and unconscious decisions, that is my decision to continue to experience being a victim. That is, so as soon as a person goes, well, I don't believe that, Earl, it's okay, that's cool. That just means you still got the decision in place to continue to challenge yourself to have experiences that prove you couldn't be happy because you want to be right about your way of seeing things more than you want to be happy. People tend not to want to be rescued in ways that they didn't make up. Our ego is so big that we don't want help that we didn't think of. So if someone else comes to me with an answer but it wasn't one I thought up, I don't want to listen to it because I think it's my job to come up with my answer. It's like being in a burning building. I said this so many times. Like, how did this happen? Why did we do this? Well, why would we create this? That's like a good question to come to. Well, why did we do this in the first place? And then it's like the Course is saying to me, you know, you're in a burning building.
Right.
Let the firemen get you out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get out of the building and then you're under the shade tree across the street, then you can try to figure out what started the fire. But he's saying, we in the fire. I'm telling you the way out the fire. Why don't you just do it and get out the fire? And once you get out the fire, you can go, well, how did I create that in the first place? And why did I want to feel guilty to begin with? And why is it that I wanted to be sick and have relationships with anyone? That doesn't make sense. Get out the burning building. Get out. Well, how do I get out the burning building? This is a defense against the truth. This is a plan that my ego is coming up with to try to make me think I can't have the power and the beauty and the kind of life that this book is teaching me I can have. This is another trick that's trying to teach me I can't have loving relationships. This is another trick that my old self has come up with to make me think I can't have abundance. This is another trick to make me think I can't express my creativity. What? My problems? It's my secret magic wand. I wave every time I get threatened by what this is telling me. And if I realize that I'm the one that's making the decision, it has no purpose. And all of a sudden, it all starts to heal. In very natural, miraculous, I can't believe that happened, kind of ways. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Okay, so could you acknowledge you? If you feel strangely irritated as well as feeling joyful when you study the Course, that's normal. Your old self doesn't like what I'm saying. I don't expect everybody to like what I'm saying. There's no reason in the world why the part of you that believes you should suffer should ever want to listen to somebody that says you don't deserve love. But this part of you, the loving part of you, that's the real part of you, and that's the part of you I'm communicating with every class. I have no interest in your ego, and I hope you have no interest in mine. You know what I mean? So I'm going to do the love offering. And the class goes to 8, and I'm just trying to keep my greetings and let everybody get out around somewhere around that time. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. If there was anything that you heard tonight that resonated with you, anything that you heard tonight that resonated for you, take that with you. What you don't agree with, what you don't understand, what is confusing, let it go. Let it go. It's a trick to keep you from using what did move you, what did sound right for you. This is a new way of learning that's going to irritate you because it's not the way we've learned. We've learned just the opposite. You focus on what you don't understand, you analyze it to death. I don't do that. So I'm not even teaching you the way that we've been taught before. And I'll irritate you if you want me to do it the way you've done it before. You know, because I'm doing what it tells me to do. That's what I owe everybody in here.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be a teacher of the Course, I can't teach the Course the way we were taught to be taught. Mm-hmm. I have to do it the way it says it must be taught.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes I don't like it. But it keeps on saying to me, remembering. Thank you for those of you who share. Thank you. I do this full time in my life. This church is here. It also has expenses and things that need to be paid, just like you do in your life. And I appreciate you feeling like what you experience is valuable enough to you that you would share just like you would for anything else that you do that you enjoy that you see as being valuable.
Yes.
Because it's a spiritual doesn't mean it doesn't need financial support. And there's nothing wrong with me receiving money for what I do.
That's right.
Now you go.
And if you don't think I deserve it, I'm the wrong person.
Right.
You don't love me and I don't love you at some level.
Right.
You know. And that's the truth. And I love you because you are generous and you are loving and you are a blessing in my life. So it's not a criticism or a judgment. I'm telling you thank you. Because those of you who come and do give, you know, I appreciate that because that's what we do for things we value.
Yeah, right.
That's what I said, what we do.
That's what we do.
You know. And I'm glad that you see it as something that's valuable and that it's not a sacrifice. Because that's the way I see you. David, you got an announcement you want to make?
Yes. This Sunday afternoon for movies.
Do we die to this form when we put this into practical application? What we do is we finally start to use this form of what it was meant to be used for, which was to allow love and joy and peace to be born and expressed in this plane. So actually, it's just the opposite. We actually start to enjoy the diversity in allowing ourselves to be in this physical form and letting love come through this physical form. And it's actually, the Course says, he calls it the happy dream. That you go from thinking you're miserable in your body to going to bliss consciousness in your body to being aware of who you are beyond the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the only form you die to is the old fearful one.
Right.
But what you are, it actually gets attained. Because it's not the body that's the problem, it's what I'm doing with it.
Right.
So it's no reason for my body to have to go just because I've started to be loving. I've just started using my body for love and peace and creativity and abundance and joy and fun. Because my body never made the decision to do that crappy stuff anyway. So why did I need to get rid of my body? My body wasn't the problem, it was my mind. So if you think that it's not about enjoying your physical form, you're misreceiving what's being said. It's about not suffering. It's about letting go of the pain and the guilt. That's what it's about. Yeah, okay? So I got 1 minute thing I want to do to bring us together before we go out into the lab.
All right. So just take a breath. And I want to say, sickness is a defense against the truth. I want to say it for about 2 minutes as a chant. And I'm going to use different definitions of that.
Get up on your feet and give a count of your faith. Pray to God or something, or whatever you do.
You're supposed to use your body to help you remember the truth. And every time you let some truth come through your body, you chant and you affirm, it impresses your consciousness more. And this sickness is a defense against the truth. 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 That is a defense against the truth. That is a defense against the truth. That is a defense against the truth. Loneliness is a defense against the truth. Loneliness is a defense against the truth. A problem is a defense against the truth. Remember that your new self is giving you the words of love that you're receiving right now. And your old self, the ego self, is not going to give up without a fight. So as soon as you try to do the brand new stuff you were trying to believe in, your old self may make a decision to give you something to make you think that you don't deserve it or you can't have it, or that things are not getting better in your life. Remember that you made the decision yourself and the problem will fade away. Remember that you made the decision yourself and the problem will fade away. Call it a trick. Call it a deception. Call it a defense
against the truth. When you call it a defense against the truth, it will help it dissipate a lot faster. An answer will come to you unexpectedly. A person will say something that's just what you need to hear. Some miraculous thing will happen to resolve the situation. Something will happen to end the illusion. Sickness is a defense against the truth. Sickness is a defense against the truth. Sickness is a defense against the truth. I'll see y'all next time. See y'all in the next time. Don't forget, now, if you get a chance, your assignment this weekend is to boogie somewhere. Have some kind of fun. Do your favorite fun thing. Do something to nurture yourself. Whatever that is, everybody's got their own way. But show your old self that you're going to do it differently now. You're going to claim your joy. And when something comes up, say, hey, this is a trick. This is a defense against the truth. Appreciate y'all. May the course be with you. Yeah. So the hugs are available.
Well, this section that we did tonight.